Chances are, you think of the Jersey Shore and a good memory comes to mind.
In high school, my summer job was delivering pizzas in the shore towns, Sea Isle City predominantly, and it was such a fantastic experience. It was independent. I'd get in my car with a stack of pizzas and show up to anything from a house full of fraternity people in Sea Isle to a quiet family down the street.
Andrew Lewis is a journalist and author. He lives in Ocean City and has been connected to the shore his entire life.
What was really neat about it, I think, was that I got to meet so many different people from so many different places in these, of course, quick vignettes of life up and down the shore.
Like many other people, he was looking forward to another summer season, but that was before the pandemic shut everything down. With Memorial Day weekend almost here, parts of the shore are slowly opening back up. What will a social distance Jersey Shore look like? And will it ever be the same? I'm Annette John Hall. This is The Why. Andrew wrote about the shore's plans for reopening for NJ Spotlight. When the shore shut down, that must have been strange. What was it like?
It was a palpable feeling, sort of the emptiness on the streets. And I remember the first week of the shutdown in mid-March, there was a really nice day. And it was the middle of the week. It was a Wednesday. And it would have been a day in normal times where when the town wasn't that busy. But with everyone having off work and the weather being so nice, one of the nicest days of the year, the town was just flooded, and this was before the boardwalk was closed, and really that was the day that convinced the mayor of Ocean City and mayors up and down the Jersey Shore, I think, that they had to close the boardwalks. And really after that day is when like a very palpable silence sort of descended upon Ocean City and the other shore towns.
I know Governor Phil Murphy issued an executive order last week that allowed all beaches to open Friday in time for Memorial Day weekend. Does that mean things are getting back to normal?
Yeah, the announcement was definitely a big step for the shore communities.
I know many families cannot wait for a day either down the shore or alongside one of our lakes.
But it doesn't mean things are back to normal. On the contrary, things are far from normal. So essentially what the order does is it allows for continued limited access to the beaches. Now, some municipalities are, you know, allowing folks to sunbathe now and swim, and essentially that's still up to them, but by and large, the beaches are fully open. But sort of where it starts to look a lot different is in the social distancing aspect of things. Now, I know Cape May County has instituted a 6 feet saves campaign, and they're essentially going to hire social distance ambassadors to walk the beach to make sure that people are practicing social distancing. There's a lot of talk about, you know, most lifeguard towers have two lifeguards to one tower. We now know that this summer they will probably be adding more towers and putting one guard to a tower, and that way they can spread out across the beach and better enforce social distancing both on the beach and in the water.
And what are they going to do if you get too close to each other? They're going to blow their whistle and point at you and wag their finger at you? How's that going to work?
I think it's anybody's guess. The chorus of whistles is already pretty strong in the summertime, so I can't imagine the social distancing chorus of whistling, but that could very well be, you know, up on the boardwalks, it is still going to look a lot different. The executive order still bans festivals and concerts, and that does include, you know, fireworks and things like that. And then rides and arcades, they still remain closed. And then, of course, we're still in this phase where non-essential retail shops, they can only do essentially curbside pickup. So still at this point, people won't be allowed to go into the stores.
Are towns struggling to figure out how they'll fully reopen? Do they have a plan?
So this executive order has definitely helped them get a focus on how they want to proceed from today on forward. But, you know, there's still a lot of talk in each of the municipalities about how exactly phase two will look. And phase two is essentially, you know, what are we going to do with the non-essential retail stores when they open up?
You know, I've got so many questions about this, Andrew, because I'm thinking about amusement parks and the boardwalk rides. How can they really be confident about opening those?
When you start winnowing down to the major trouble spots, you inevitably land on the amusement parks. You can't take seats out of a roller coaster. You can't remove a teacup from a teacup ride. So how are they going to retrofit their rides? And then again, you know, in the high summer, people are shoulder to shoulder. So if you want to sort of pinpoint the biggest gray area with regard to how this is all going to look and how it's all going to unfold, it's all about looking at the amusement parks, because they can't adapt like other establishments can.
Yeah. So a lot of restaurants are already doing curbside and delivery. When they reopen the dining room part of their business, what is that going to look like?
I think it's going to look pretty empty. Diners are going to be sitting at least 6 feet apart. I have heard rumors of some restaurants putting up shower curtain type dividers between tables. And then, you know, in terms of the sort of the cleaning side of things, in Ocean City, the city government has purchased masks and gloves and this sort of thing. And they've purchased it not only for their employees, but to hand out to guests as well. So I think you're going to probably have a manager require you to wear a mask. There's going to be a lot of disinfectant everywhere. So maybe this is the summer of the busboy and busgirl, because they're going to be working extra hard cleaning those tables in between parties. I spoke with Chuck Bangle, who owns a very popular chain of pizza shops in Ocean City called Manco and Manco. And so that he has enough spacing, he told me that he expects to run his floors at 30%. So he's actually going lower than the 50% that everyone is talking about. He also mentioned that he's putting up plexiglass around some of his pizza cases, because what happens at Manco and Manco is people queue up out on the boardwalk and they place their orders right to a waiter over a pizza case.
You know, it's going to take us a couple of days to come up with the perfect system for the boardwalk involving the social distancing, not only of the employees, but of the customers. And I hope that the customers follow social distancing guidelines and not ruin it for everybody.
When we come back,
it remains to be seen if the pandemic, if this new social distancing culture is sort of going to permeate that more entrenched culture that everyone who comes to the shore knows.
This is The Why. I'm Annette John Hall. I'm talking to Andrew Lewis about the challenges the Jersey Shore faces as it gradually...
Supporting WHYY, Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at pennmedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
...tries to reopen for the summer season. What about hotels and rentals? Because I've been vacationing in Rehoboth Beach for years, and I know that the turnover for weekly rentals is Saturday to Saturday. And that means that the housekeeping staff has only a few hours to clean up. How are they going to make sure that everything is disinfected in a way that will keep people safe?
Yeah, it's a good question. And for me, it's a personal question. For years, I worked with some friends doing turnovers on the weekends. Typically, on the Jersey Shore, turnovers happen on Saturday. Checkout is 10 a.m. Check-in is 2 p.m. An average size cleaning service will have up to 6 or 7 homes to do in that period. So it's a tremendously fast-paced turnaround rate. You have the going rule is you have no more than an hour to clean the house. So now we're in entirely different territory. Far more cleaning is going to have to happen. So I think what you're probably going to see is maybe earlier checkout and later check-in, because the way that it was is just not going to work.
Yeah. But what about the people who rent the Airbnbs and smaller units?
Yeah, it is a bigger problem. And I spoke to John DeJenny.
It's pronounced DeJenny.
His family owns the Centennial House in Sea Isle City. And John's family has had the Centennial House for decades.
We live in the house. I've got myself, my wife, I have two infant children, and then I've got my mother, who is in her late 60s. So bringing people who we haven't been quarantining with or anything like that into the property is distressing.
So, you know, John told me, you know, even if the governor says the ban on short-term rentals is over and everyone can come in, John said, I just can't do it until he sees a safer environment with regard to, you know, flattening the curve and cases lessening in New Jersey.
I'm also wondering about seasonal employees. Are businesses going to be able to hire them with confidence?
A lot of the Jersey Shore communities and the businesses, they hire J-1 visa students. It's a tradition that's gone on the Jersey Shore for a very long time. Students from overseas come and live in the towns for the summer, and they work at the amusement parks and the restaurants. And Mayor Pete Byron in Wildwood and Chuck Bengel as well, they told me, as far as they know, none of the J-1 students had showed up yet. And really, this is the time where they start to take out rental units and they start to show up in town. And of course, none have been able to travel over here to the United States.
So, Andrew, do you think the Shore will just be a different place? I mean, a lot of the things you do at the Shore, you do with other people, right? I'm thinking about getting an ice cream and, you know, like we talked about riding on the rides and just being around throngs of people walking around on the boardwalk. How do you think the social distancing culture will change the beach? Or is there going to be a social distancing culture at all?
I think you touch on a really interesting point about sort of one of the main cultural fabrics of the Jersey Shore. You're right. Being here in the summer is all about being close with folks from all around. I mean, you go to the boardwalk to be a part of that throng of people. You know, you go down to the beach on July 4th and sit shoulder to shoulder with people to watch the fireworks. And that's a deeply ingrained value that, you know, residents and tourists alike share down here. And I guess I just have to say it remains to be seen if the pandemic, if this new social distancing culture is sort of going to permeate that more entrenched culture that everyone who comes to the Shore knows. I just want to add that I hope that we can sort of find a balance, you know, where we can not forget that thing that makes the Jersey Shore town so important, but at the same time, remembering that we do live in a different world now and we need to take a little extra precaution.
Andrew, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your reporting with us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you, Annette.
That was NJ Spotlight journalist and author Andrew Lewis. The Y is produced by me, Annette John Hall, along with Shai Ben-Yaakov, Alex Stern, and Kelsey Hansen, under the editorial direction of Katie Colinari. We had editing help on this episode from Eugene San and Xavier Lopez. Do you still plan to vacation down the Shore this summer? Let us know. Send us a voice memo to the Y at whyy.org. Please include your name and where you're from. You can also hit me up on Twitter at AnnetteJH. Thanks for listening. Be well and safe, and we'll see you tomorrow.